Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Most gospel preachers will preach on the subject of baptism many times because of the significance given to it in God's Word. Likely, he will have a number of sermons that approach the subject in different ways, but all of which bring to light the revelation of God concerning baptism. And we should never be apologetic for preaching anything that the Bible discusses. And baptism is a prominent biblical subject. Many need to be baptized. Just because many do not understand the subject, many reject baptism as taught in the Bible, many teach error concerning it, and some contend that it is discussed too much, still, gospel preachers ought not be intimidated to withhold the much-needed lessons on so vital an issue as baptism. We shall approach the lesson by asking four questions and searching the Scriptures for the answers to these questions. We shall ask who, and why, and how, and when regarding baptism. First, before baptism, one must be taught. One could not expect anyone to want to be baptized who was not taught about it. The faith of Christ is a taught faith, and faith is not received miraculously, but by the hearing of the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. And this is the reason the apostles spent so much time teaching, privately, house to house, publicly, to multitudes, to individuals. Christ said to go and to teach and to baptize. Before baptism, there was to be the teaching, Matthew 28 and verse 19. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Those baptized in New Testament times were those that had received the word that was taught. Acts 2 and verse 41. Having heard and understood the message, they accepted it as being true. Now those who rejected the word were not baptized, but only those that received that word. Believers are the proper subject of baptism. Taught believers. When the Ethiopian wanted to be baptized, Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." He had not yet believed. He was not yet a fit candidate for baptism. He had to be taught. He had to believe what was taught. But one was not a proper subject for baptism simply because he believed. There is another condition that precedes baptism, according to Acts 2 and verse 38. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." Those who repented were the ones that were baptized. And we would be most presumptuous to encourage baptism of anyone who does not repent. And repent means to change one's mind. That leads to a change in one's life. And furthermore, in Acts 8 and verse 37, it also shows that one who confesses his faith in Christ prior to baptism is the one to be baptized. From all that the Bible teaches as to those who were baptized, we learn that it were those to whom the Word of God had been taught, those who had received that Word and believed it, those who had repented of their sins, and those that had confessed their faith in Christ. They were the ones that were baptized, as we read in the New Testament. Now you can see this would exclude those who are untaught or incapable of being taught. This would exclude those who reject the word and disbelieve it. And those who would exclude the impenitent, certainly would it not? And those who do not confess Christ? This would have to exclude infants because they cannot do these things. And those unwilling to obey would not be proper subjects for baptism. Would you baptize someone who admitted he did not believe in Christ? Would you baptize one who would not confess his faith? Would you baptize one who gives evidence that he has not repented? Would you give evidence that one who says he's going to continue in his sin just as he has been prior to his baptism, would you want to baptize him at all? Why, such people would not be proper subjects for baptism as taught in the New Testament. Now, why should people be baptized? Again, let us see the reasons that are given in the Scripture for baptism. Some are baptized today as a sign that they're already saved. You never read that in the Bible. Some say baptism is but a symbol of salvation. You never read that in the Bible. Some are baptized simply to join some denomination. You never read that in the Bible. Nothing like these reasons are given in the Bible, but reasons are stated for baptism nonetheless. In Acts 22 and verse 16, it teaches us that baptism is to wash away sins. Now, we are not to understand that the power of forgiveness is in the water. Those who teach truth never teach that the power of forgiveness is in the water. The power of forgiveness, dear listener, is in the blood of Christ. But we reach that blood in baptism, Romans 6, 3, and 4, when we're baptized into the death of Christ, the very place where his blood was shed. It is obvious that prior to Saul's baptism, his sins had not yet been washed away, because that is the reason Ananias gave him to be baptized. And again, Peter told his hearers on Pentecost that baptism was for the same purpose as repentance. He said, "Repent and be baptized," and it was for the remission of sins. The word translated "for" is the word "unto," and it's a word that always pointed forward. Peter told his hearers to be baptized unto the remission of sins. Baptism was not because they'd already been forgiven, as some denominationalists falsely teach. We can see the meaning of the phrase "for the remission of sins" quite clearly when we see that Jesus used the very identical phrase in Matthew 26 and verse 28, when he said he shed his blood for the remission of sins. My dear friend, Jesus did not shed his blood because sins were already forgiven. Since the phrase shows the necessity of the shedding of the blood of the Lord, it also shows the necessity of repentance and baptism. The purpose of baptism could not be more clearly stated, and it is not to be dismissed as something optional. Furthermore, Paul said we get into Christ by baptism. For as many as you were baptized into Christ did put on Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. Now, who has the right to say that we put on Christ if we have not put him on like people did in the New Testament? Who has the right to say we get into Christ some other way, since Paul says we're baptized into Christ? This is identically what he taught in Romans 6, 3, and 4. We're baptized into his death. The importance of being in Christ is seen in Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Furthermore, salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. All spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. So we must get into Christ. The Bible teaches in two places, and it teaches the same thing in both places. We're baptized into Christ. Furthermore, this is the way that we enter the Lord's church. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 tells us that we're baptized into the one body. Now keep in mind, Paul writes by inspiration in Ephesians 4, there is one baptism. And when he said that, the baptism being preached and practiced was a water baptism, Acts 8, 36 and Acts 10, verse 47. Those who heard Peter on the day of Pentecost, those who received the word, those who were told to repent and to be baptized, 3,000 did just exactly that, and they were added to the church. They didn't do one thing to be forgiven of their sins and something else to join some church. What they did to be saved, what they did in order to have their sins washed away, was exactly what they did to cause God to add them to the church. We're baptized in order to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 3 and 4. We do not begin that new life before baptism, but upon being raised in baptism. When we start a new life, it is because we are born again, and that's what the new birth involves, the beginning of a newness of life. And we are born of, a product of water, and we're a product of the Spirit, because the Spirit is the one that by the Word directs us to be baptized. Now some say they're baptized just to obey Christ, but that it has nothing to do with our salvation. A more inconsistent statement could hardly be uttered. Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey Him, Hebrews 5:9. Baptism was commanded by the Apostle Peter, Acts 10 and verse 48. They either would obey or disobey the commandment. If they disobeyed, would it make any difference? Being baptized is to obey. To obey Christ is necessary to be saved. Some say that baptism is not necessary because the last part of Mark chapter 16 does not mention baptism as a condition for condemnation. Now it is true the first part of the verse includes faith and the baptism in order to be saved. Now if you want to be saved, then meet the conditions of salvation. And friend, if you want to be lost, you just meet those conditions. All you have to do to be lost is not believe. And those who do not believe do not concern themselves with baptism, or repentance, or faithfulness, or the Lord's Supper, or a righteous life, or anything else regarding Christ. When you don't believe, that's sufficient for condemnation. There's no need to mention baptism when you're talking about condemnation. But if you're concerned about salvation, you better pay attention to the things connected with it. And baptism is. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a symbol, but not a symbol of salvation. It is that form of doctrine that is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That's the doctrine that saves, 1 Corinthians 15. And as Noah was saved by water, we are saved by baptism. And friend, listen to me. No amount of denominational twisting can change the meaning of this definitely stated purpose for baptism. Clergymen will tell you that baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. The inspired apostle of Christ, the apostle Peter, said, "Baptism doth now also save us." Now, people may deny it, they may refuse it, but even altogether, they cannot and will not change it. How is a person to be baptized? And by this question, we're simply asking, what is the physical action? You know, sometimes people talk about the mode of baptism, but baptism expresses the mode. Baptism tells us the manner of it. Baptism is a burial, Romans 6, 3 and 4, Colossians 2 and verse 12. The Bible states what baptism involves, and all the sprinklers in the world cannot change that. Baptism means to bury, to plunge beneath, to submerge, to immerse. It's always meant that in biblical language. When people were baptized in the Bible, they went under the water. They went to the water. They went into the water. They were baptized in the water. They came up out of the water. They were buried in baptism. There could be no resurrection, no raising to walk in newness of life if nothing more than pouring or sprinkling had been involved. Pouring and sprinkling came into practice centuries after the New Testament church was in existence. They're human substitutions for the divine appointment. When should one be baptized? Providing he has been taught, he has received and believed that word that he heard, and has repented of his sins and confessed his faith in Christ, when should he obey the command to be baptized? Should he put it off for weeks, waiting for what sometimes people call Baptism Sunday? In the Bible, Ananias told Saul, "Why tarriest thou?" In other words, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Acts 9 and verse 18 says he did it immediately. The Ethiopians stopped the chariot at the first place of sufficient water. The Jews on Pentecost were baptized that day. The jailer in Philippi was baptized the same hour of the night. Of course they wanted to be baptized, and be baptized right away because they realized its importance. They had not been taught that it was optional. They had not been taught that they could wait. They knew how essential it was to obey, and they did. Friend, if people would only set aside their denominational creeds and the doctrines and dogmas invented by men and simply hear what the Spirit says through the Word, this matter of baptism would no longer be a point of constant conflict and religious controversy and confusion. So we would encourage one and all who have been taught, who believe in Christ, who have repented of their sins, who have confessed their faith in Christ, to be baptized into Christ, to be added to the Lord's body, the church, to be baptized for the remission of sins, and to do it now. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.